Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggle stories and triumphant successes of business owners across the land. You can find us locally at the Sun Prairie Media Center and, of course, at drawincustomers.com/podcast. My name is James Kademan, entrepreneur, author, speaker, and helpful coach to small business owners across the country. Today, we're welcoming slash preparing to learn from Matt Mosman of Develop LLC and, oh my gosh, I forgot the other one.
Know Do You Design.
I knew there was a big U in there. So Matt, how are you doing today?
Excellent. Thanks for the invite.
I don't have any paper in front of me, so I have to do this off memory. So I apologize for that. Let's start with Develop LLC.
Perfect.
What is Develop LLC?
Develop LLC, or Develop, is just a product development and automation company.
All right.
Started off with helping people or businesses get their idea to market.
All right.
That's really the main vision of it. So it kind of started off in one space, and as businesses go, it's evolved into many other.
That's the name of the game, man. Every business seems to evolve, especially in the past year or two.
Exactly.
So tell me, how did you get interested in that or even into that? Because I imagine there's a lot of technical skill needed, and there may be a lot of capital as far as equipment.
So product development, I guess, has just been a passion of mine. Went to school for mechanical engineering, and then just got into the product space of it, I guess. And that just kind of been what's been driving me on it.
But okay.
As far as capital, it started off in my parents' basement as a small little machine that just bought. And like we were kind of talking earlier, what it really started with was making these incontinence devices for urinary and bowel issues, just kind of something random. But that was the first client.
How did they find you?
I was at just a standard dinner event, and that was the person I sat next to.
They're just like, hey, do you know anyone that knows how to make these things?
And yeah.
Like, turns out I do.
Exactly.
All right. So did you have to go to school for this, or is this something you learned just from experimentation?
You know, it's kind of, everybody thinks you need to go to school for a lot of these things. Mm-hmm. And I'd say, yes, school I learned a lot, but a lot of it's been experimentation. So yeah, like I went for mechanical engineering and then went into industry for a little bit, and then I was back for actually a master's in new product management. So focusing on portfolio management is the way I like to look at it.
Okay.
A lot of people manage, you know, a portfolio of stocks, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
I like to look at products and see how we can drive dollars with products.
All right. The majority of the products that you take care of, or I guess help develop, are they outside clients' products, or do you have any of your own that you've helped developer invent, I suppose it would be at that point?
Yeah, that's actually a really good question, because what happens in the consulting space is it's big ups and downs.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're working with clients, obviously our internal projects don't get hit a lot, but you hit the valleys, and that's where Know Do You Design, the other business, came from.
Gotcha.
Is we leverage, because we have a team,
mm-hmm.
and so we need projects that when we're slower, we can leverage those assets, if you will, or that skill.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants to just be sitting around waiting for the next project to come in or, say, sign the next contract. So literally, we just use that team to help launch the next product.
All right. So when a client comes to you, are they looking to build, let's say, something like a pen or a table, or is it a computer, a camera, a speaker, or something like that?
Yeah, what we try and focus on now is products that have mechanical and electrical in them. So not just where we once started, where it was just mechanical housings or mechanical fixtures.
Mm-hmm.
Now we've gotten into it. It needs to really have electronics and need a housing around it, or just based on having more than one set of engineering. Because that's the real value we've added to our clients.
Because you can do both.
Exactly. A lot of times they would have to add as like the, or act as like the general for like building a house. They'd have to find somebody that could sub their mechanical, find somebody that could sub their electrical, somebody that could then do their software. They can now come to us and get one full product.
Wow. I imagine that's just easier when you have an in-house team that can do that.
Exactly.
Because I imagine otherwise there's going to be some finger pointing. Just like when you build a house.
Oh, yeah. That's kind of the name of the game, is nobody wants to take accountability. So we kind of come in and say, what's really your goal of this product? Where do you want to go? And we take a lot of upfront time to lay that out before we even start, because that's how we found that hitting their goals at the fastest pace and under budget is really key. So figuring out the project all with one process. And basically, some people want to be very involved, and some people want to fill out those initial metrics and then call me when it's done.
All right.
So
when a client comes to you, where are they at in the process as far as the development? Are they reaching out to you to just see if it's even a viable product or even possible to make? Or is this something where, are they further along than that?
We've seen every spectrum. Okay. Is this possible to make? Mm-hmm. I have a patent on this. I need to find somebody to help me prototype it.
All right.
I've gone to this other consultant or this team, and I've got a prototype that is not at all what I dreamed of.
Oh.
I'm off space. Can you help us with that?
Okay.
Or, you know, anywhere in the middle.
Interesting. All right. Because I imagine talking to someone like you or having you build something is probably not the cheapest thing in the world. We don't have to talk about actual dollars, but you're not doing favors for them where it's like, for $50 and a beer, I'll do this or something like that. Like, there's got to be a lot involved in, as far as designing, I imagine the mechanical stuff, gears, machining, all that jazz. The circuit board stuff, that looks like magic to me, so I don't even know how that happens. Getting software onto those circuit boards, that's beyond Harry Potter to me. That's just crazy to think about all that has to happen. And just the educated person that has to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
So a client has to be fairly committed,
yeah.
I imagine, to making something like this work.
Yeah, definitely. And really laying out where those costs are going to be. Because we want to get our customers to market.
Okay.
At the end of the day, like, you know, we want to make sure that they are a client that we can help
mm-hmm.
and help within their budget. So
a
lot of times we'll lay out, this is what our estimated cost is to market.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of the under promise and over deliver rule. Like we tend to come in on the high end of what we expect it to be
mm-hmm.
and then aim to come in under. But really you have to make sure that their expectations are correct on how much this can cost to get
all
to
right.
market. Because you're right, it can be very cost prohibitive for some people to do.
Yeah, I imagine it depends a lot on what the product is and what they believe they can sell the product for.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading a book. Oh, it was the guy that invented Teddy Ruxpin.
Okay. You
remember Teddy Ruxpin?
No.
Teddy Ruxpin for you kids at home. Teddy Ruxpin was a little teddy bear.
Okay.
That you stuck a cassette in the back of Teddy Ruxpin. And as the cassette played, Teddy Ruxpin would speak.
Okay.
Or his mouth would move. So.
Would he move at all or was it?
No. This is 80s. So he wasn't very elaborate. He just sat there and his mouth would move. But that was the toy to have before Tickle Me Elmo came out.
Interesting.
And I don't know if you could stick a Metallica cassette in there and have them rock out or anything.
That would have been fun.
I don't know if the mouth was actually in sync with the audio on the cassette. But I do know that this guy invented that, and then he essentially talked about bringing your invention to market
mm-hmm.
and essentially selling the rights, and then you can make a residual nut.
Yeah.
Every time a Teddy Ruxpin flies off the shelf.
Yeah, royalties.
Yeah. He also did the Nerf Boomerang.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember the Nerf Boomerang, so.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. I am going to have to, the title of the book will come to me. And we'll put it in the description. But at any rate, it made me think of something like what you have going on. Because I imagine everybody's got that idea for that super awesome product, right?
Mm-hmm.
The jet-powered skateboard or whatever. But they don't know how to make it.
Mm-hmm.
So they come to you and they're like, Matt, jet-powered skateboard, help me. Make one, and then we'll see if there's a market for it or something.
Yeah, the market is up to them.
Okay.
Our goal is to get them to market, but yeah, on the sales and marketing end, that's really their aspect of it.
All right. Now, I always think of those, I don't even know what they're called now, hoverboards or something like that, where you lean different directions and it goes forward and back.
Twist sticks or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
I stood on one of those for about 5 seconds.
And you end up on the floor?
Yeah, and all I could think was, who is the guy that invented this? Who is the company like yours that put it together and figured out the software for mm-hmm. how much you lean, goes different speeds and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, that would.
And then who's the first one to ride it that said like, oh, this is easy. That one was probably some 7-year-old kid.
Probably.
Just knocked it out. Because, yeah, my son and his friend, they're just like all over
just
the place.
Cruise around.
Yeah, but I look at that or I look at drones. The fancier drones where they can sit in a breeze and just hold still.
Mm-hmm.
That's pure magic to me.
Yeah,
definitely
further out than we're going.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, we're more on like the, like based on the Node Design product line, we're more on like real kind of lower level consumer electronics.
Mm-hmm.
We've done like keyboards, stuff like that, to the automation space. So
all
stuff
right.
that's going to go into like a controls cabinet on a manufacturing floor.
Gotcha.
That's really stuff that we kind of hit.
All right.
We've done a little bit in the consumer space, but that's a little tougher.
Gotcha, okay. Just because it's not as robust? Or because it's kind of like you got to hit it out as fast as you can in 6 months? Or
It's not really our core.
Okay.
And then like our team's not built around having the skills to do a lot of those.
Gotcha.
Kind of organic modeling, if you will, mm-hmm. around that, and then just kind of the aspects of bringing a lot of that together.
Gotcha.
We're pretty small, so just a 5-person team.
Okay. So you stick more with manufacturing the equipment that actually manufactures
so we'll
stuff.
We'll help do like turnkey machines for automation. That's okay. Something. So if somebody has their widget that they're making on mm-hmm. their floor and they realize that, say, they have a couple people on the line that are getting, you know, a tedious task that, mm-hmm. you know, the wrists are always sore or it's the bottleneck in the process.
All right.
And they want to automate that to get more of their widgets out.
Okay. So instead of building creating the pen, it would be building the machine that creates the pen.
Yeah, that's where we come in a lot as
gotcha.
Well.
Gotcha. So figuring out how to screw in the end, slap in the spring, mm-hmm. and
yeah.
whatever else they have to do to make a pen.
Yeah.
Interesting. So then how does a manufacturer find you?
It's been all word of mouth is how we've okay. worked with all of our clients. It's kind of been just trickle effect, if you will,
all right.
how it's kind of compounded.
Mm-hmm.
So,
are there some success stories about something where a client came to you and said, hey, I want to build this widget, and you just figured it out?
Nothing really, like, crazy that we can share a lot of our stuff. Like, we've only been in business now for 2 years for our cool stuff, if you will.
All right, for
yeah,
the
cool. we've made the inconsonance devices that are out there that people can see and some yeah. of the stuff that's been around for a while. But,
okay.
yeah, a lot of the stuff is kind of captured in some NDAs.
Gotcha. Fair. Okay. Well, we don't want the FBI coming down or anything. Shared. Tell me about if I'm – one of the things that is always a challenge to me when I think about business – is if you're going to start a business, there's a capital outlay for any mm-hmm. given business. If you're going to be a painter, you got to buy a van, a bucket, and a brush.
Yeah.
But if you're going to start a manufacturing company, you got to come up with machines and stuff yeah. like that. And come up with someone like you to help design those machines. So when clients are coming to you, generally speaking, mm-hmm. are they newer or are they've been around for a little while, they have processes, and some of those processes are less than efficient?
Yeah. So it's turned into more of like the 20 to 100 employee companies that have been around for
gotcha.
5 to 50 okay. years.
All right.
Yeah.
And how have you seen technology evolve for machines? Because I imagine everything's getting, I'm pausing to say, is it better? Well, is it bigger, better, faster, more? So mm-hmm. how has technology changed what you guys do?
Everything needs to be connected.
Okay.
So what's happening on the floor needs to be connected to what's happening on the accounting level and being able to drive that data out and make it really easy for the people that aren't constantly on the floor to see what their throughput is, what the processes is, and find issues.
All right.
So everybody wants to know what's happening mm-hmm. where now.
So I'm thinking, let's just talk about the pen, right? So the accountant or the purchaser, I guess mm-hmm. it would be, needs to know how many caps they have
yeah.
to bring in.
Yeah, they just got a PO for 100,000 pens.
Sure.
Now they've got to trickle that all out to the pipeline.
All right. So they got to get caps, springs. I imagine there's certain pieces that are going to be defective mm-hmm. that they'll want to figure out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking like springs or maybe exploding ink or whatever it is. That all from the manufacturing line can go back to an ERP system and real time tell
exactly.
the controller, hey, man, you got a problem.
Yeah, we're seeing X number of scrap or we're not getting the throughput we want.
All right.
You know,
oh, that is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, what gets measured gets improved, I guess, as far as that goes. So that's
yeah.
awesome. So do you work with certain ERP programs or just software programs in general to help companies? Or do they tell you, hey, we have this system we built or whatever?
Yeah, basically we send a packet of data.
Okay.
And then that can get driven into however they want. Basically
gotcha.
get it out to Ethernet, to an HTTP portal, and just drive it basically to the web. And
okay.
then they can handle it from there, typically.
Gotcha.
Sometimes we've done some different applications, but very niche.
Okay. So you essentially say we have this information as a, oh my gosh, my software days. Is it get and put? Or I don't remember. Essentially that basic information, most softwares would have some API.
Exactly.
That they can just take that software or take that information
and
put it whatever database they need to put it in.
Exactly.
Gotcha. All right. That's interesting. So how did you end up deciding I'm going to go in business on my own, and this is what I'm going to do?
How did I decide?
Like, were you at a job, and you're just like, screw this noise, I'm going to do my own thing, or did you always want to start a business and didn't know what it was going to be?
I think it just, I don't know, I just kind of grew up with that, if that makes sense. So
okay.
I guess kind of go back in time a little bit, I grew up on a family farm. So all it's right. like always waking up, you were going to be out doing X, Y task. That's something Dad mm-hmm. and I have always, you know, done together. And
right.
my first business was, you know, probably the same as everybody else, but a lawn care business when I was 12. I wanted to go work mm-hmm. and get actual dollars, not just showing up at the farm and working and not mm-hmm. getting paid.
Yeah, right.
So
you got a roof over your head. That's
so
your
I
pay.
Wanted to go make dollars. And I found out you had to be like 14 or something at the time
yeah.
to actually get a job. So I was mm-hmm. like, well, what can we do? So I started a small lawn care business that was just a couple neighbors. And then it quickly turned into, you know, 10 or 12, I think it was at the peak. So
wow.
it was just small, but that was when I was, you know, I was trailing into, I did that from 12 to 18.
Did you really? 6 years? You stuck
yeah.
with it?
Yeah, I did that. And then while I was in high school, as soon as I could basically have my driver's license, I got a job at a manufacturing facility.
Okay.
Where I was deburring stainless and just on the factory floor, just
All right.
doing manual labor, basically. But then I still did the lawn care as well at the same time.
Wow.
So.
All right. You know, I've interviewed a few lawn care people that just started out either super young or to pay for college or something like
yeah.
that. And they built it into decent businesses. I think I can name probably six of them.
Okay.
Just even locally here. That they're just like, I didn't plan on doing this for the rest of my life,
no.
but it's making money, so.
Yeah, I never had like a trailer or anything that I hooked up to a truck. It was, I had to be able to drive there with the mower.
Oh, nice. This is, we have a finite radius of where we can go.
Yeah, so marketing was really easy. I just basically printed out the flyers and went around to the houses.
Oh, that's awesome.
Doorstep. Yeah.
That's awesome. Anybody get mad because you didn't do it the right angle or something like that? Or
no, it was...
Just like the grass is shorter, we're all good.
Yeah, I'm a bit OCD, so yeah, I striped every lawn and had fun with it.
Oh, nice.
So it was probably a little over the top for what I was getting paid for, but I don't know why I've always just enjoyed mowing lawns.
Sure.
So I still do ours, and so.
Oh, all right. So, that's all good.
Yeah.
So you said the business currently has been 2 years, but you've been in business longer than two, right?
Yes. So Develop has been around for 6 years.
Okay.
2 years was when basically I went full-time on it, and then the co-founder of Nody Design also went full-time. So he works within Develop and while mm-hmm. we're building out Nody Design to get that product to market, really.
Nice. Let's talk about Node U Design.
Okay.
Because you had to help me understand exactly what a node was.
Yeah.
So can you elaborate on that just for the crowd?
Yeah, it's really tough to sometimes break down, but in the automation space, think of like a light switch or a breaker panel in your house.
Mm-hmm.
On a light switch is kind of a passive device that you always go out there and flip, and it drives that, you know, power, if you will, back to your breaker panel. All the
mm-hmm.
data in what we're doing is driven that way. So these switches that were on a lot of machines
mm-hmm.
were very sublocated, if you will, and then they drove back to a larger panel where all the controls is happening.
All right.
What we've done is we've put logic on the switch level
mm-hmm.
so we can increase speed and precision.
Okay. So the logic is essentially at the light switch, so to speak.
Exactly, yeah.
Rather than at the breaker panel.
Yes.
And how does that make it more efficient?
So it's basically just reducing the loop. It seems
okay.
weird where like you might only be going across the room, but we're talking milliseconds.
Mm-hmm.
So the difference in speed can be the difference between somebody losing an arm or maybe crushing it.
All right.
So things like that.
There's probably people that most people would prefer to not lose it.
So exactly.
That's good. Interesting. I was learning about the whole stock market thing where there was the wire that they were trying to connect. I want to say from, oh man, I don't remember exactly where it was. Was it Chicago to New York that they're trying
the
to make
a
straight
trading.
Of a loop for fractions, like tiny amounts
oh,
of
yeah.
milliseconds.
Mm-hmm.
That just blew my mind how much work was going into that. But then you see how much money they can make off of that. You're like, well,
yeah,
I get it.
There's dollars in the data.
Yeah, it's so interesting. That is so interesting. So that said, you come across a company that's 20, 50 years, whatever, into doing their thing.
Mm-hmm.
They may or may not know something like this even exists. How do you sell it or present it to them and say, look, you're doing well, you can do better?
Yeah, that is something we're still learning on selling the nodes. We thought we'd be selling, we made these separate peripherals where people would build their own solution.
Mm-hmm.
People want turnkey. So
All right. What
we found is we're basically going to a module solution. So they'll be able to just drop it in and this is what you're gonna get. So you're gonna have basically LED indication for your users on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna be able to drive the data via this language to your system.
Okay.
And you're going to be able to have this many inputs, outputs, so you control X, Y, Z. Breaking it down into one kit was really the kind of the education barrier we needed to lower for a lot of our clients.
Gotcha.
That was something we learned the hard way.
How do you do that on a universal level since people are making pens or tables or water bottles? Like, there's so much variety in what they're manufacturing.
Yeah.
Is there a lot of variety in what you have to keep track of, or is it essentially just spinning motors and stuff like that?
Exactly. So it's just different motors, different cylinders, different
different
inputs and outputs into our system.
All right.
And basically the program just has to be written. So the software is different for that machine, but you can use the exact same hardware.
All right. Interesting. Because stuff just has to move, or I imagine stuff has to be sensed, like a light switch, or that water bottle's in this position on the conveyor belt or whatever.
Where it is and what's next.
All right. Where it is and what's next. I love that. So do you go to a manufacturing company, look at what they have going on, and say, this is where I feel like we can help you?
It's been a little bit of both, where we've gone into places, kind of evaluated what they're doing, and we'll just kind of propose some solutions. Otherwise, it's been them coming to us.
Okay.
So, like I said, word of mouth has been the odd thing for us, is a lot of people just keep passing our name on that we've worked with in the past.
That's cool.
Yeah.
This, the whole on the node information, I suppose, for lack of a better word, is that known technology? Do manufacturers know that this exists?
It's becoming more common.
Okay.
There's a couple other solutions out there right now.
All right.
It's kind of like the mainframe PC, what happened with computers, where everything was one big PC and then it goes down to separate units. It's kind of the same thing in the automation space, where everything used to be very small like this and localized, and then it all went to these big bloated systems where you drove all the cabling back to one solution.
Yeah.
And now it's kind of doing the same thing, where it's coming back to having the controls closer, because now the cost, it's all about, you know, the cost basis to deploy, where now you can deploy it more cost effectively.
All right.
By making stuff smaller and subsystems.
Let's talk about failure rate a little bit. I haven't asked you about this before, so hopefully it's not a sore spot. But I imagine if something like that goes down, does the whole line go down? Or how easy is it to get back up and running if something inevitably breaks?
It depends on the system that's built we're in. I guess we've never gone into a system where it's a big line. It's typically one machine.
Gotcha.
So one standalone machine. So if that machine goes down, it's only affecting that area.
All right. Gotcha. And then when you're working with clients, this is something that I found it to be a challenge just universally of any business that I've had. Every client wants to believe that they're special. They're their own unique way. I'll give you an example. We had a client that I was trying to sell on calls on call, potential client, and he had an appliance repair company. Typical service company, right? You need something fixed, you call them up, right? My refrigerator's broken.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, James, this is tough, man. We have so much information we have to collect. And I asked him, you know, just walk me through it. And he's like, name, address, phone number. Then we got to know the model of the refrigerator, whatever. And then brand. And if they don't know those other two things, it's not the end of the world.
Okay.
But his
four metrics.
He was like, oh my gosh, name, address, phone number. How are you ever going to collect that? And I'm like, we collect that from pretty much every client that we have, because just about every client that we have has on-site service, so we need to know who they are and where they live.
Yeah.
But it was interesting from his perspective, and this is very common, there's that ego with a business owner where they're just like, no one does what we do. We collect name, address, phone number. So how do you deal with that? Because I imagine in manufacturing, that goes even beyond that, because you're collecting different data. That to you, it's like it's a spinning thing in a sensor that tells you if this product is there or not.
Yeah.
But to that business owner or manufacturer, they're like, oh, Matt, this is way different than anything you've ever seen.
Yeah.
How do you deal with that?
You just prove the solution.
Okay.
So everybody thinks it's going to be so crazy or so different. Break it down.
All right.
You know, what are the tasks that we're doing?
Okay.
Let's create a spreadsheet, if you will, or let's line by line this, break it down, and then deploy the solution and just prove that it can be done simply.
Right. All right.
A lot of people tend to look at a problem and you can zoom in, like I'm looking at this one water droplet on the bottle and all of a sudden that's a problem, but it's like, just step back.
Sure.
And look at the whole problem as one and then start breaking it down.
All right.
So just break it down.
Nice. I want to, speaking of breaking down, I want to segue into employees.
Mm-hmm.
So can you tell me how you find employees and what you look for in employees and any challenges that you've had with employees?
There's a lot of questions there.
Yeah.
How we find employees, we have found them all on Indeed.
Okay.
So everything has been posting it up there, mm-hmm. waiting for people to apply for it, and then interviewing the process.
All right.
The way that we've gone through hiring, we've tried a couple different ways. Our first intern was, this was probably the most fun way that we hired, because this, I guess, wasn't actually through Indeed. We'd gone to MSOE, which is where myself and the co-founder of Node Design graduated.
Is it and something School of Engineering?
Milwaukee School of Engineering. Okay. And we knew some people there, some students, and said, hey, do you have some friends that are really good at XYZ for some software?
All right.
And so we gave them a task that would be a problem that we would typically need solved on our application,
mm-hmm.
and then said, all right, we want you guys to submit your solution in the next couple of days. Anybody that submits one gets $100.
Oh, nice.
So then we picked the best one out of all the people that applied it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Did they know that they were essentially applying for a job or?
Yeah, that's what we openly said. You're getting paid to apply, and mm-hmm. this is the process to get into the kind of the, we first had interviewed
wow.
a couple people.
All right.
And then like gave the option to a handful of people to do that.
Interesting. How did you know that the solution that they offered was good or not?
So I'm not the software person in the software application, so that was strictly up to Cody.
Okay.
kind of narrowing that down. He understands the software. It was kind of just an idea that we wanted to test on finding people.
All right.
And so it was basically seeing how his way of looking at it was how efficiently they went about it.
All right.
If they asked questions. Because it was interesting. We said you can ask all the questions you want.
Oh.
And so we gave the option to see, are these people willing to ask?
All right.
Or are they just going to fail in silence?
Sure. Fail in silence. I love that. Interesting. So. I mean, it's a bad thing, but I love that name. That's cool. So have you had luck with employees? It sounds like you've had lots of luck.
Yeah, we've been really fortunate so far. I mean, there's always the hiccups where, you know, you want something done on XYZ, but, you know, those are going to happen. You know,
it's
going to be different parts of it. But, yeah, we've been really fortunate for the employees we've had, but it's been a young business too, so I'm sure I'm gonna find my problems.
Oh my goodness gracious! I was just talking. Well, the last woman that I interviewed, she and I were digressing a bit about employees because mm-hmm. the question was, what is the biggest challenge in your business right now? And it is rare that a business owner does not answer employees.
Hmm.
If it's not number one, it's number two.
Got it.
With number one being sales or something like that.
Yeah.
It's rare that they say, you know, the mail person just delivers to the wrong box all the time or something like that. It's like, it's employees,
mm-hmm.
totally employees. That's interesting. So how many employees do you have now?
So we have myself and Cody.
Okay.
The two that are whatever the founders, if you will. And
mm-hmm.
then we have a CNC machinist, Mike. We've got Josh, who's our firmware and electrical tech. So he does like all our board testing, integrations. He's doing a lot of our documentation for our products as well.
All right.
And then we've got Luciano, who is basically our high-level firmware software right on our boards.
Nice.
And I guess we have a virtual assistant as well.
So okay.
Beth has been great for that.
Very cool. Tell me about the, oh, my mind is blank here for a moment. The partnership.
Yeah.
Because business partnerships, there's good, there's bad, there's tolerable. So I guess what has been your experience in finding the business partner, working with a business partner, and then just going through the decisions that every business owner has to make now with a partner?
Yeah, so for Cody, that kind of goes back, right? Like I said, we met MSOE. The kind of the fun story of how we met was, it was probably the first couple weeks of school. Obviously,
mm-hmm.
a couple buddies went out. We all got super drunk. And we come stumbling back, and I come back into the dorms, and I smell pizza.
Oh.
And I just stumble to this room, and it's Cody's room. And I walk in, I'm like, we are going to be friends. So needless to say, I ate like half of his pizza that night.
All right.
And ever since, we've been friends.
Nice. He's been trying to get that half pizza back.
He's been trying. Yeah, I don't think I ever paid him for that. I'll probably be owing some interest on that or
funny.
Something.
Funny.
So that's I guess, how the business partner got laid out on that one. And then
all right.
We both kind of obviously went through school, graduated, went into industry,
mm-hmm.
and kind of went through the process. But I was crashing on his couch when I was going back for grad school. And
all
that's
right.
when he originally showed me the NUD. of what we're making for the product line.
Oh, nice.
So it was, he was just tinkering with it and was like, what is this? And he started explaining what it could do and what his vision was for it.
Okay.
He's like, what are you planning to do with this? Oh, I just think this is cool. Like, you're not going to take this to market or anything?
All right.
So that was just like over the course of like, you know, several classes, it was like going back to his college, talking about it, and then eventually evolved kind of from there once. It was kind of a waiting on tech too. Some of the tech wasn't quite ready to kind of deploy the hardware we wanted in the space.
Okay, tech like what?
Different controllers and then the way that the software has changed. So Python's becoming more and more known for deploying automation solutions.
Mm-hmm.
But really, when he had first started tinkering, I mean, the idea was completely different. And now Python's come to where you can, more people are knowing it and can deploy it in the industry.
And what type of time frame are we talking between then and...
When he first started tinkering with it, that'd be a good question to actually go back and ask him, because it was really just his naming of it and the idea.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess really when we started hitting it was 2 years ago when we really started evolving what's the product going to look like and how are we going to define it now that the kind of stars, if you will, have aligned now, being able to deploy the hardware and software on one solution the way we wanted.
So it sounds like you guys are cool as far as partners go.
Yeah, it's been like documented. We both, you know, it started off as get this all into a solid email train to kind of say how this is all working.
Right.
And then we've actually just gone through the process of getting a full operating agreement for that all business laid out. And so we know our roles and everything. And if things, you know, we end up going for funding or we do something, we already have those boxes checked. So we're not slowed down by those things.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah, I hear so many stories with business partners. Many good, many less than good, but it sounds like you're lucky that, and you, I guess you guys are have an advantage, similar to, I have a business partner with one of my businesses, and I've had partnerships go way south, and I've had partnerships very cool.
Yeah.
What I'm in currently is cool, where our roles are very clear as far as who's got what skills, and there's ours is very little overlap.
Good.
I guess we're learning overlap just from being in the business.
It's part of the process.
But you, I mean, like yours is mechanical, his is software, very clear.
Yeah, it's, I'm not going to write a line of code.
Yeah.
He's asked me to try and I, we've tried. Let's just leave it there.
All right.
I can't figure out software, so.
That's all right. That's all right. I completely understand that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Software to me is still... I would argue to say either magic or just, it is another language.
Yeah.
And so you got to know how that language works. But it's interesting in like a language, you and I speaking English, even though mine is probably a little less than perfect.
Yeah, I still struggle with English plenty.
Right? So. But we know what we're talking about. Where a computer, if you're off, the computer's like, no can do, syntax error, baby.
Yeah.
Like, ah, don't you just know what I'm trying to tell you? So interesting. Tell me about trying to sell companies or clients with you being a fairly youthful company. Do they ever challenge you and say, like, you've only been in business a couple years or a few years, or you're a younger guy, like you've never made marshmallows or whatever it is that we're trying to manufacture?
That's actually a really interesting one, because that's something we've struggled with.
Okay.
Cody and I are both younger, kind of new to industry. The, the big thing is like, oh, we have 20 years of experience if you put us both together, I guess. So that is interesting trying to go into rooms, because I kind of get the baby face look, like, how the hell is this guy going to help
me? Who is this?
Yeah.
Is it bring your kid to work day?
Exactly.
Right.
So it's again, just prove the solution. So really what it's been is try and get a small project.
All right.
Don't go for the big one if you don't feel like you can close on that, but close on something.
All right. So crack the door open.
Crack the door and crush it.
All right.
And then just crush that project.
Nice. I like that. That's cool. Would you consider you or your business partner more business savvy as far as growing and setting the business up and all that jazz?
So I have been tasked with the sales and growth, if you will. So the business aspect, that's really my goal, is to get completely out from behind the mechanical engineering and that aspect. Is
okay.
I really enjoy meeting with clients.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy learning what their problem is and how we can solve that and get them to a positive experience.
All right.
That's what I thrive on.
Yeah. Sales is the name of the game, right? Nothing happens until a sale is made.
I guess.
That's very true, very true, especially with what you have going on. Tell me about the capital outlay as far as equipment, how that has changed or how you've had to add to it. So imagine as you add employees and you pivot the business a little bit.
Yeah.
It costs money to pivot.
Yeah, when it first started, it was just a $2,000 little machine. So it was really easy to kind of figure that out. But then as you kind of grow, it was, you know, go to the bank was really what we did. We really, State Bank of Cross Plains took a gamble on us.
Nice.
We heard no plenty of times and saying what our goal was and how we were going to go about it. And then getting the financing around that.
Was the no because you guys were young, the banks didn't understand, or they didn't even know what they were helping you buy kind of thing?
A little bit of both, kind of depended upon the solution. Okay. It kind of got to the point where it was like, you know, let's just sell. I'd go in and just sell the vision. This is what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when the State Bank took a chance on us when I said, this is where we're going.
All right.
Instead of trying to lay out, you know, this is the process.
Sure.
Getting really in depth, just sell the passion.
Gotcha.
And that's ended up how I sold that one.
Oh, I like that. Did you guys ever do a business plan?
Business model canvas.
Okay, perfect. So the one sheet thing.
Yeah. Exactly. I've seen the business models. My theory is they're outdated by the time you finish it. So
it's probably fair theory, at least partially.
So the business model canvas has been a way to vector is really the kind of the way I like to look at it is where we're going and then what's the long-term goal, but then let's knock down what's happening in the middle.
All right.
So just kind of make sure to set that path, if you will. That's what we use it for.
So business model canvas, just for the people that may not know, is essentially a very large one-page business plan.
Yes.
The ones that I have done, we've used whiteboards, 8-foot wide whiteboards.
Exactly.
But it wasn't a 50-page or 200-page business plan. It was all laid out right there.
Yeah, sticky notes. So, just like these whiteboards over here, the easel style where you rip them off. That's what we did is each section of the canvas, we did that with sticky notes. I guess we've still done it a couple times. But you just lay that out, put the sticky notes, take pictures of it, and put it into the folder so you can see it and look back.
Yeah. Tell me, when you were putting that plan together, what were some of the data points that you had a rough time figuring out?
Ooh.
Like, we got to figure out, how did you figure out what specifically your market was? Was that a guess, or was that based on some other business that you knew of?
I'd say a bit of a guess.
Okay.
That's
totally fine.
We're still figuring things out as we go on exactly where we're narrowing. We've probably started too broad, if you will, in the product development and automation, and we're slowly narrowing that down to the industrial aspects. So.
Niches bring the riches.
So, rather than being so spread thin, but I guess at the beginning it was like, how can we turn revenue and figure things out?
Sure, fair, totally fair. Yeah, it's interesting, when I teach a business planning class, I always tell people 80% of this plan is a best guess.
Yeah.
You'll get data and information that you can then process and say, well, like, this makes sense. But then you don't know where you're going to be in 5 years.
No.
No, I mean, can you imagine making a business plan in 2019 and then starting your business end of 2019 and be like, this didn't quite go as planned.
You know, it's changed a lot.
Something changed. So we talked about market a little bit. As far as location, you were or are in your garage, essentially.
We are in the garage.
Right.
I have the most understanding wife on the planet. Amanda is just amazing.
Yeah.
Because we now have 4 cars in the driveway all the time for the team that's in the basement working away. So actually, I should clarify, the garage is actually, when we built the house, it has a 3-car garage, and then we did a 3-car under it. So precast concrete.
Wow.
So it has about 1,000 square feet down there. The goal is to always do a small business / startup out of that space.
Okay.
It's like, at the end of the day, you're going to have to go rent somewhere. So it's like, let's just bake this value in that we know we're planning for.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So
can you actually park 3 cars underneath there?
You could, yeah. You could park 3 cars in there, a CNC, a 3D printer, and a team.
Just in the off chance that you have that.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Tell me about the CNC machine, because I've seen a variety of those.
Yes.
And oddly enough, the last, I interviewed Dickinson Manufacturing.
Okay.
Keith Dickinson, super awesome guy, locally here.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember looking at his machines, and it still had the 3.5-inch floppies.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I'm like, what is that all about? And he explained to me, like, that's fine. The hardest part is finding 3.5-inch floppies.
Okay, interesting.
But that's getting it from the CAD program to the CNC machine for these particular. He had some that were USB and some, I think, Ethernet.
Mm-hmm.
But the floppies, I'm like, really? But it was interesting. I was just, that's not the business that I'm in. So he's like, yeah, this is just a thing for this industry.
Okay.
So tell me, how did you decide what CNC machine to get.
So I guess I've deployed a lot of Haas machines. That's really where a lot of my...
Haas is a brand?
It's a brand, yeah. Okay. That's a CNC that I've used in the past.
Okay.
They're really great for a lot of applications. We'll definitely have one in the future. Mm-hmm. What we started with was a Datron M8 Cube. It's very specific for the electronic space or okay. small machining. So all it right. has a... Where typical machines, say, have up to 15,000 RPM, how fast the tool spins, mm-hmm. we're running at 40,000. So whoa. It's really beneficial for running on small diameter tools and small features. We can do it very fast and very efficient.
Okay.
But yet that has its limitations on, you know, the size of parts and the size of tools we're working with.
All right.
So really, really specific kind of for that electronic space. And then it's very clean, too, so we don't have flood coolant to deal with. That's always nasty. Oh. We're using ethanol. So we won't cut any steels or anything that sparks.
Okay.
It's all going to be plastics or aluminum.
Gotcha.
And they come out very clean. You're not impregnating the materials with oils.
Okay. So are you, does that run crazy three-phase power or something like that you had to get special in your house?
Or? We have a rotary phase converter in the basement.
So you yeah. do?
Yes. So we have a unique power brought in.
All right.
That. Yeah.
That is so interesting. I was talking to a brewer that had to bring in three-phase power.
Yeah.
It's like, I can wire... just enough to be dangerous, but three phase, you're just like, above yes. my pay grade.
Yeah, that'll blow me across the room.
All right. That is crazy. Wow. So when you fire that machine up, do lights dim across the country or?
No, just in the basement.
Okay. Just in the basement.
But they're all LED lights. So yeah, it's
all right. LA.
Yeah.
Was it tough to get down there?
No, we just had a rigger come in with a telehandler and drive okay. it in. Yeah, forklift.
You just say that just like, it's nothing, yeah, another day, James. Just like bringing groceries in.
Yeah.
All right. I don't even know what you just said, though. What's a telehandler?
A forklift.
Oh,
so
gotcha.
Same thing like you'd see on a job site for moving yeah. a bundle of trusses on your house or 2x4s.
Oh,
around.
Like the extension yeah. arm kind of thing. Okay.
So to them, it was like dropping a hot tub off.
Gotcha. It was just another day.
Yeah, just different hot tub.
That's so awesome. That is so awesome. So you, is it going to be tough to move that then?
It'll be the same thing, just in reverse.
Okay. Is that expensive?
$2,000.
Okay. So I mean, what's the CNC machine go for? I don't even know.
That one was $250 is what we paid.
$250,000?
Yeah.
Okay, so a couple $1,000s to move it.
Yeah,
not
you don't
bad.
Want them to drop it.
No. I had no idea they were that much money. Holy cow. So you had to sell that to the bank and be like, look.
Yeah, the value we could create with it.
All right. And have you been able to do that?
Yeah, we've been paying for the machine, no problem. Just
right.
keeping stuff moving.
That's cool.
Yeah, really the... In the R&D space, it's keeping the projects on the engineering and the team to go into the machine.
All right.
It's not like the really heavy manufacturing where that spindle needs to be turning all the time. It's basically having the flexibility. So you're not just same thing we talked about with electrical, software,
yeah.
and mechanical all in one stop.
All right.
We now don't have to call somebody to make those parts for us. We just go flip the machine on
gotcha.
And we make them that day. Or we want to make a quick change to something. We're not waiting weeks. We're waiting hours.
Well, that's pretty cool.
So that's kind of the speed at which we can do product development.
All right. That's very awesome. So tell me, the 6 years since you've been in business,
mm-hmm.
how, I guess, what have you learned since you started that you did not know, that you even didn't know at the time that you started?
I'd say one of the big things is getting it in writing. So.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah. You know, it started off, you know, we were talking about, I think it was your sister or something, just on different businesses.
Yeah.
Not knowing certain things.
She had no idea.
Just doing different things. And so it was just basically, oh, here's a project. Yeah, I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, here's a project. I can do that.
All right.
And then the projects kept getting bigger. And, you know, it was to the point where, you know, you just kept trusting that the things were going to go the way they were going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently handshakes aren't always what they're cracked up to be.
All right.
So learned that one the hard way. But basically
sure.
now it's we don't do a project unless who's taking the liability, how the things are going to work out is all
right.
laid out in the contract.
So it's very well documented to say, this is your job, this is my job, this is what you're going to pay.
And this is what you're
this
getting.
This is the direction money is going, whatever, and this is what you're getting. Okay.
Yeah, kind of like those operating agreements, if you will, like we were
talking
sure. with our, you know, the business partners.
Right.
Cody, so it's like you just need to kind of different scale, but lay out the projects.
Yeah, nice. That's pretty cool. So are you a reader?
Audiobooks is kind of more my...
Audiobooks. Okay, do you read or listen to any business audiobooks?
It varies.
You can tell me no.
It's
totally cool. It's authentic.
I put them on.
Okay.
But it's funny because I like put them on as background noise, and then, like, I never remember what I like the names of all of them are. But then, like, all of a sudden something will pop up. It's like, oh yeah, I remember listening to that.
All right. Well, let's just put it to you this way. What is a piece of advice you've gotten, whether from an audiobook or a fortune cookie, been helpful for you and your business?
I'd say a lot of the best advice has come from either family or friends or people kind of looking in on it. But it's like, you know, sometimes I'll tend to overthink a process. Mm. And I've heard that where it's like, just don't overthink it. Just keep it simple.
All right.
Where it's like it's so easy to try and analyze it all. And that's kind of like I said about breaking things down with our clients. That's where a lot of that's kind of come from. It's just like, just make it simple. Break it down.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of been a big one. Trying to think of other really good ones. It's a deep one that I guess I hadn't really
thought of. That is a deep one, yeah. I have employees that still need to learn to do that. There are times that I need to learn to do that, but I guess you could argue there's sometimes I should probably break it down more.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, it's not that big of a deal. Mm-hmm. Solve the problem. Then the employees say, well, James, these are the 50 million steps we have to do. Anyways, you're married.
Yes.
How long have you been married?
We should call Amanda.
Okay. Has it been more than 6 years?
It is 5 years is right where we're at. So
okay, so you had your business before you were married.
It'll be 5 years on June
26th. There we go. Okay. So. Nice. You recovered.
Yeah, we recovered there.
So you owned your business before you got married?
Yes.
Okay. But you were together, I imagine.
Yeah.
So how did that conversation go when you're like, Amanda, what's up? I'm quitting my job and I'm starting a business.
I don't think it was too out of left field considering we were actually next door neighbors and I used to mow her parents' lawn occasionally.
Oh, funny.
When that was my lawn care business.
So she was literally the girl next door?
Literally the girl next door.
All right.
So, yeah, she's...
So she saw you start your lawn care business.
She's kind of seen the things that have happened, and
all right.
She's, I guess, very supportive of the passion. She's never really slowed anything down.
All right.
She'll make me accountable when I'm, you know, tend to move too fast, but, like, just lay it out so I understand, you know, what's happening, why are we doing this.
Okay. That's super cool.
So as long as I can kind of lay it out, and, you know, she holds me accountable to that.
I like that. And when did you build your house?
So that would have been we moved in shortly after we got married.
Gotcha.
About 5 years ago.
I love that when you built your house, you made space for having a business within your house. I feel like that should be mandatory now. Because it's so, I mean, especially now, right? There's so many people working from home, starting businesses from home that you just need that. You need space, whether it's for a CNC machine or whatever.
Yeah, you just have to make sure your HOA is good with it.
Right. minor details. So tell me about the future of Develop. Where do you see it going, let's say, in 3 to 5 years?
3 to 5 years. So I guess the kind of the next metric or the big thing is to get out of the basement.
Mm-hmm.
We just had an accepted offer on a building that we're hoping to move into Springfield Corners. So that's kind of, we'll see if all the loans and everything go through for that.
Right.
So I plug State Bank in again there.
Play the game, right? Play the game.
So that's kind of the next goal. And really, while we're really passionate about creating products and helping our clients get those to market or manufacture them, if you will, the big drive has been to create jobs. Like, all I don't know why that's always been. I love getting people to work and something they enjoy and just getting that energy around that.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, the goal is to create a lot of jobs locally in the next 5 years.
Nice. So. You know, I find that fascinating is when you start a business, people just assume you get a yacht. Like almost on day one, right? You only own your business, you must be rich. But I feel like something that gets lost is that once you get employees, you're responsible for that person's livelihood, right? Their food, shelter, fun, that's all coming from them doing work because you helped create that work.
Yes.
And I feel like that's a lot of, I don't even know if I look at it as pressure, but I guess in the end you could consider it that way. That kind of gets lost in the whole, like, business owners have to do all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
On top of bringing clients in, keeping everybody happy, making sure employees are happy, is making sure that employees get paid.
Exactly.
And that's a huge responsibility.
Yeah, you need to make sure you're always making that payroll or they're not going to show up next
There's
year.
A whole, yeah, I was just chatting with someone who was, he's a contractor. And he's like, I was a little late on paychecks. And I was like, You can't be, that's not a no. choice.
Yeah, it's
you
not an option.
You can't be late on paychecks.
It's not like they gave you net 30.
No, no. No, so it's so interesting how he just had this laissez-faire, like, oh, they know it's kind of a rough time now. Like, no. No, they don't. And if they believe that, they shouldn't.
Yeah.
It's like, that's a whole domino effect that you were just kicking over right there.
Exactly.
That just blows my mind. But yeah, that's interesting to add employees. Mm-hmm. So do you see yourself doubling in size in a few years, tripling?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely doubling is the goal okay. in the next couple of years. The space that we're going into, I'd love to see 20 engineers there in the next 5 years.
20. All
That'd
right.
be kind of the goal metric.
All right. Is it big enough where you'll have space?
Yeah, that's what we could fit in that space.
Wow.
So
that's cool.
Yeah, that's kind of the goal, if you will, that vector we put out there of what we want to see in the next 5 years.
I love
in
it.
That space.
I love it. So tell me, from all your experience in helping customers, employees, having your own business, or own few businesses, I should mm-hmm. say, what is some advice that you would consider giving someone that was thinking about starting their own business?
Just start, and then just keep moving.
All right.
Like, don't, when it comes down to that business plan, mm-hmm. everybody tries to make the perfect plan before they move or mm-hmm. find the perfect time to move. Like, oh, everything will be good after I pay off my Christmas credit card or something. I'll use the money once I've started saving after that. It's like, just start something. It doesn't need to be drastic, like you said, overnight. Just, you know, turn the bolt a little bit that
yeah.
day and, you know, make one call that moves in that direction. And then just keep doing that day by day.
Yeah.
It does just take domino effect, like mm-hmm. just one thing at a time.
Yeah, Warren Buffett said the way to start making money is to start.
Okay.
So same thing. I love it. One of my favorite sayings is keep it moving.
Yeah.
Especially when I'm driving. So it's just one of those things. I love it.
Okay.
Just keep moving. So that's cool. Well, Matt, thank you so much for being on the show.
That was an hour already?
Dude, it moves fast here, doesn't
it? It does. Wow, okay.
Just like we got 20.
We hop in that time machine and we're here.
Yeah, just like that. This is Authentic Business Adventures. Thank you so much for tuning in. Authentic Business Adventures is brought to you by Calls on Call, offering call answering services to small businesses across the country on the web at callsoncall.com, as well as Draw In Customers Business Coaching, offering business coaching services for businesses looking for growth, which should be all of them, on the web at drawincustomers.com. And of course, The Bold Business Book, a book for the entrepreneur and all of us, available wherever fine books are sold. We'd like to thank you, our wonderful listeners, as well as our guest, Matt from Develop LLC. And oh my goodness gracious, I'm going to forget that other company again.
Know Do You Design.
So where can people find you?
On our website, social media, otherwise.
Tell us the website.
Develop-LLC.com and KnowDoYouDesign.com.
And that's KnowDU with a big letter U.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Awesome.
Yeah, give me a call otherwise once you find it.
Nice. I love it. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks for the opportunity.
You can find us at drawincustomers.com/podcast. Thank you for joining us. If you could do us a huge favor, and wherever you see this, if you could share it with all your entrepreneurial friends, throw a thumbs up on there, comment. You can always reach out to us and ask us, hey, James, we'd like you to interview this person. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you next week. I want you to stay awesome. And if you do nothing else, enjoy your business.